Welcome to The Author Show, where we always present new authors and books, from fiction to self-help and everything in between, you name it, and you will find it here. To watch the TV version of the show, visit authorswebtv.com. That's authorswebtv.com. And now, let the show begin.
Hello and welcome back to The Author Show. This is your host, Don McCauley. And today we're welcoming to the program author Andrea Ballou. And Andrea is the author of Finding Your Authentic Voice. Andrea, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Don. Thanks for having me.
We'll start with the big question. What is your authentic voice?
Well, your authentic voice is that part of you that knows what's in your best interest. It knows when to do something, how to do something, and what to do. It's that knowing we all have. And most of the time we experience that knowing in what I would call an aha moment. So it's just that kind of gut instinct, inner compass, inner wisdom that we have.
So you're saying that we don't listen to it all the time?
I'm saying we don't listen to it all the time. That's correct. A lot of the times we listen to what we think we should do, what other people tell us to do, and have ideas about things that aren't necessarily what our inner knowing would have us do.
So we're listening to a different voice. What do we call that?
Well, people have a lot of different names for that. Some people call it their rational brain. Some people call it the ego. Some people call it my mom's voice. You know, whatever voices happen to be going on in your head that come out of, usually it's the conditioned brain, what I would call the conditioned brain. It's all the thoughts and ideas that we've picked up through life, but aren't necessarily that inner knowing, that part of us that's been with us forever that knows what to do, when to do, and how to do it.
I like to refer to mine as the idiot within. Now, what difference, in your opinion, would learning to listen to this authentic voice make in someone's life?
Well, that authentic voice connects you to the authentic self, and that's that part of us that's always been there. I mean, we know it has been. If you look back through your life and you say, well, this is who I've always been, regardless of the circumstances that have come up. So that authentic voice is connected to that authentic self. So when you're paying attention to that, you're going to be living your true purpose. You're going to be connecting with who you truly are, your own values. And it's your integrity. Basically, it's the integrity that you walked in with. And when you listen to that, you create the life that you truly desire, one that would be really fulfilling for you and purposeful and make you happy.
Okay, so how do I know which voice I'm listening to?
Well, generally speaking, you know that authentic voice because it's your truth. It's not all of the noise in our heads that generally accompany us throughout the day. And it doesn't sound hurtful or angry or condemning. It's not any of those messages, those kind of negative thoughts that oftentimes run through our heads. It's more certain. It's clear. It's that moment of knowing that we often experience as a moment of clarity.
Well, back in the 70s, I heard a lot of voices. So when you hear this voice in your head, is this something, does it sound like an actual voice or what is it?
You know, my experience is most often it's a knowing. It's that knowing part of you. Sometimes it shows up as an idea, as a thought, because that obviously it's that, this is what I need to do, that moment of clarity, that certainty, versus just the run-on information that we get.
Now, what are some of the things we can expect when we learn to listen to that voice?
Well, if we stop first, and one of the things that I often share with people is to stop, breathe, and focus. So if we stop first before we say anything, before we do anything, and we breathe, we connect with that center, and we focus on what it is that we intend to have happen, and listen for what is our truth around that. When you do that, oftentimes you're going to be clearer in your communication for one thing. You're going to be more powerful in the way that you come across with others because you're going to have that clarity and that certainty. You're certainly going to make better decisions for yourself because if you're coming out of your authentic self, your unique strengths, you're going to make better decisions for yourself in your life. And perhaps one of the things that people find most helpful is that it helps you navigate change better because change is constant. I mean, that is what this world is about. And when you connect in with that authentic self and listen to that authentic voice, you lose a lot of the fear that's associated around uncertainty, because you just know that this is the way you need to move forward. So it brings you a whole lot more knowledge, clarity, wisdom, and creativity as well. Different ways of approaching problems or situations that you have.
Well, in the last several thousand years, mankind has developed a zillion systems for learning to hear this voice, and you know, for some it's meditation, for others it's prayer, for some it's chanting or whatever. Now, in your opinion, what is it that you're teaching? Is there a way that you can hear this voice more often?
Well, there is a way that you can do that, and the way that I have developed, I call your seven practices to find and follow your authentic voice. Nothing is new under the sun, just as you just said. There's nothing that hasn't been looked at when it comes to this. I mean, the truths and the wisdom is there. What I found was that these seven practices were the things that all needed to take place. And they're not linear. They're not something that has to go A to B to C to D. They're just all the things that come into place for you to essentially juice up that creativity system that you have within you and start to hear that voice more often. So if you do these on a regular basis, you connect with that authentic voice more often, so that when you need that information, it's there and it's available to you.
All right. So how did you discover these practices?
Well, like most people, at a certain point in my life, I'd realized that I was making decisions out of what were expectations, out of something that I'd grown up with. I'd done all the right things, made all my decisions, like go to school, get married, you know, do all the things that we do. But I found that I just wasn't feeling happy or fulfilled. And so fairly early in life, I went on a mission, I guess you might say, to understand what would be that thing that would make me happy. And so I started to do a lot of reading, a lot of research, a lot of personal experiences, growth experiences, therapy, you name it, to kind of look into what was it that would fulfill me. And at the same time, I started to explore a lot of the aspects of creativity. How do we access that creative mind that we have? And what I ended up with, this became basically a very rigorous journey of self-discovery. And what I ended up with were these seven practices, where I found these are the things that always seem to emerge that help me get onto the right path for my life and start to create a life that was much more fulfilling and happy. And so I started to share these practices a few years back when I realized that that was my next step.
Well, I think the difference between, or one of the major differences between the Eastern philosophies and the Western philosophy, is that we believe here in the West that our happiness lies somewhere out there in the future, and that we have to jump through a set of hoops before we can achieve a magical state called happiness. You know, and it might be getting something or doing something or achieving something, and then we always end up really feeling disappointed when we get there, because we realize that it's not there. So in the Eastern systems, you know, it's taught that it's just change your mind this very second and you'll be happy this very second. So in regards to what you're teaching, you're saying that there are seven steps. How long does it take to actually go through the seven steps, or can you just kind of, you know, expand on those steps a little bit?
Sure, absolutely. And I agree with you. I agree with you that we're taught to look outside ourselves, to look to the external world to provide that, which is absolutely not going to be able to do that, because everything in the external world is temporary and isn't going to necessarily fulfill us. But one of the first things that I, in terms of how long does it go through this, this is not really a sense of timing as it is they are practices. And I call them practices on purpose because they're something that you incorporate into your life on a regular basis. So for instance, I can just go through them. The very first thing, which comes out of much of Eastern thought and is growing in the Western world, is the concept of being present. That wisdom, that intelligence, that brilliance that we have is available to us in the present. It's not available to us in the past or the future. Those are just concepts that really don't exist. And when our mind is all busy thinking about things that have happened or things that are going to happen, we aren't in the present moment. So the very first thing is to get into that present moment. And as you mentioned, there are ways of doing that, meditation, prayer, lots of ways of getting into the present moment. That's number one. Number two is knowing what you want, having something to focus on. Again, stop, breathe, and focus. What is it that I want to create or express? What is it that I think is something that I would like to add to my life? That's important. A lot of people don't really know what they want. They have a vague sense or an idea of unhappiness, perhaps, or dissatisfaction, or but they really don't know what they want to create or to express. So getting clear about that. Number three is to look at how you feel about what you currently have going on. I think in the Western world in particular, we don't think about how we should say this differently. We don't feel our feelings. And by not doing that, we put a stopper on our energy. We just kind of get stuck places. So it's feel your feelings around something. Get clear about it. Four is accept things as they are right now. When you can bring that sense of peace into where you are right now, you open up that energy to hearing that authentic voice because you're no longer stuck. Number five is to step out of normal, to shift out of normal so that you can be open to new possibilities, because we get into these ruts and we forget to get out of our normal situation. And we need to do that in order to juice up our creativity and get those aha moments going. Number six is to pay attention then, because things will start to happen. Serendipitous activities, you'll get information, you'll get that aha moment. Something will happen that will give you a direction and say, this is it. And then, of course, number seven is to go with the energy, to go with what wants to happen, to move with that future as it's wanting to emerge. So all of these seven practices really work together. They don't work linearly. They're just all the things that I've noticed have come into play in terms of creating something new for yourself and hearing that authentic voice.
Wonderful. Now, how can this help us, let's say, in our communication or perhaps even in our relationships with other people?
Well, when you start to act out of that authentic place within you, that authentic voice, you become intentional. So, for instance, in communication, a lot of times we react to what other people say rather than really think about what it is that we want to create, because our intentions are what create the consequences that we experience. So if my intention, if I sit down and say, before I communicate with you, I'm going to think about what I really intend here, that's going to drive my communication in a different way than if I just go out of that reactive part of my brain. So you become clearer and become more intentional, and that can't help but help your communication, which can't help but help your relationships. And the other part of that being that when you start to act out of that authentic self, that authentic voice, you become more genuine, and people will respond to that because they will get that about us. I mean, you know how it is when you think that people are not being real with you. We don't tend to trust what's coming toward us. But when we start to act out of that authentic self and that authentic voice, we start to create more things like safety and respect and trust.
Now, when you wrote this book, well, I guess I'm asking, why did you write this book? Was this something that you're within your practice, or what was the real purpose behind, you know, penning the book?
Well, I had started speaking and doing workshops and doing a number of things around these concepts, and I would often get asked, well, do you have something I can take with me? Do you have a book? Do you have some way to go into more depth about this or share with us more information on that? And so that's really what led me on to create the book. I wanted to have something where I didn't have to be there and I could get this out to people so that they could take advantage of this information, of these practices.
Time is getting very short, so the most important question, where can we find your book?
Oh, well, there's lots of places you can find my book. One is on my website, which is andreabellew.com. And certainly can find it there. You can find it at findingyourauthenticvoice-thebook.com. You can find it at Amazon. Those would probably be the primary areas.
Okay. Could you spell the website for us, please? Your website?
My website is Andrea, A-N-D-R-E-A, Bellew, B-E-A-U-L-I-E-U.com.
Wonderful. This has been very enlightening. Our guest today has been Andrea Bellew, and Andrea is the author of Finding Your Authentic Voice. Andrea, thanks very much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
This is Don McCauley wrapping up another edition of The Author Show. If you're an author or know an author, learn how you can help a publisher publish you by visiting helpapublisherpublishyou.com. Each week you receive a listing of publishers, small presses, and others who may be interested in publishing your work. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit www.theauthorshow.com. Fill out the form and we may be contacting you shortly. Join us tomorrow for another great guest.
Thank you for listening to The Author Show. To contact us about the show, call toll-free 1-877-955-8800. That's 1-877-955-8800. Or visit wnbnetworkwest.com. Tune in next time for another great author on The Author Show.